Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell. We have another exciting show planned for you tonight, but we're a little early tonight, on an hour earlier. And our guest tonight is Cole Patterson. But before we speak with Cole, we are going to have some beauty news for my sister. But I just want to remind you all that the call number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399, and you must press the option to post, accept questions, comments. So now I'm going to send it over to my sister Denise, and she has some beauty news for us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. Just wanted to let everyone know that March 1st started off Women's History Month for the entire month. So all month long, we will highlight an important woman in history. So we encourage you to call into the show or tweet during our tweet chat with an important woman in history for you. So tonight we would like to briefly highlight Bernadine Anderson. I'm not sure how many people may know who Bernadine is, but Bernadine was the first African-American female makeup artist in Hollywood. She was known for movies like Coming to America, The China Syndrome, 9 to 5, Vampire in Brooklyn, Harlem Nights, the television show Amen, and many more. But she was also a personal artist to Jane Fonda for many years. So we just wanted to, again, highlight Bernadine Anderson. So in your own time, you can look her up and find out more about her. And we are super excited to announce a new competition coming this June. Beauty Talk presents Famous, the nail competition at Fame Expo. Famous was founded by Janice Tennell and co-created by Janice and Lisa Comfort. Look for this nail competition to take place on both Saturday, June 28th, and Sunday, June 29th. The nail art competition is for artists of all levels, so if you're a beginner or you just think, you know, you can do some nail designs, you can join this competition. And we're going to have more information starting next week, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, actually, more information on how you can enter the competition. The entry fee for the competition, and just, you know, many more details on as far as hotel information and things like that. So look out for Famous, the nail competition at Fame Expo. And remember, again, you can call in to 914-803-4399. If you want to speak to our guest or speak to the host, you can dial a 1. If not, if you just want to listen, just call the number and just sit on the line. You can join us again on our tweet chat at tweetchat.com, and we are using hashtag Beauty Lounge, not Beauty Talk, but Beauty Lounge.
All right. I'm just sitting up here tweeting now to everyone that Cole is our guest. All right. So our guest tonight, I'm going to let her introduce herself, but our guest tonight is makeup artist, groomer, and skincare expert Cole Patterson. Welcome to the show, Cole.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Cole, why don't you just start off the show by just introducing yourself and, you know, telling our listening audience who you are, what you do, and all that good stuff.
Well, I am Cole Patterson. I am a local 706 member in Hollywood and film television industry. I am a licensed esthetician, advanced skincare specialist for over 20 years. Makeup artistry for over 15. Started off in Atlanta, actually, via Miami, L.A., New York, and I'm now a resident in Los Angeles for over 12 years. I started off working on a lot of music videos, big-time directors, but before that and how I got started with makeup, I used to have my own independent agency, which was more focused on artist development, elite soirees for the music industry, and artist development work. I used to do events for talent and showcases. So I worked with a lot of labels, managers, and independent artists in Atlanta, and just kind of gotten thrown in the makeup part of it, introduced to it by a friend of mine, really good woman and artist and creator, Yolanda Fredericks. We worked together for many years. And it happened basically, I was throwing I had organized and coordinated a fashion show. I used to work with Left Eye, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, and she had a clothing line at the time, and a makeup artist, and some of the glam didn't show up. So as a team player, I jumped in there and started helping out, and one of the label people saw me and started calling, and I was like, well, I don't do makeup. And I was like, well, I guess I kind of do. And it just took off from there, and it was very, you know, I've been blessed.
Let me ask you, you said you started off with, well, how you started with makeup, you were working, you had an agency. You also mentioned earlier that you're a licensed esthetician. Were you a licensed esthetician while you were working with this agency, or did you do all of that afterwards?
No, I always been a licensed esthetician. I started off aesthetics when I was very young, like 18 or 19.
Okay.
So I've always liked skincare, and basically what prompted me into the skincare industry just to make a living, a decent living, to take care of my daughter at the time, and to be able to go to school to finish my degree and to finish my bachelor's degree. And that's how I've always, you know, pretty much always been skincare. And the agency was my own agent. I've been self-employed for many years. I created it by doing aesthetics work. And I had a lot of local celebrity clients in Atlanta and a lot of people in the music industry. So I started freelancing and branching off to other avenues, and that was what I came up with to just kind of help coordinate and develop artists as far as image is concerned and help in management, you know, basically develop this whole artist and create, you know, whatever the artist felt with the music.
So you've had the experience with music, and now you're doing film television. What would you say are the biggest differences between makeup for the music industry versus film television industry?
Oh, there's a huge difference. Music video was very glam. When I say glam, I mean very high glam, sophisticated. You had to beautify, as they would say in terminology, beat a face. And it's so much different. With film and television, is more realistic to every day, and you're doing more character. With music, you're doing more of a selling of idealistically what you think beauty is that represents the music, the art, the artist, and a collaboration of it as a whole. Film also is that as well, but it's more character-driven and dialogue and just more of a cinematic feel to it. So it has to be more realistic in terms of a suspension of disbelief, which is basically that's what movies do. They suspend us from the reality of what we see, and then we get golfed into the music. So it kind of gets that. And although music videos play that as well, trying to be more cinematic, but the makeup is totally different.
Do you think it's an easy transition? Say, for instance, if you started out in music and then, you know, went over to film and television?
I don't think it's an easy transition, and I also don't think it's that difficult, but there is a lot of things far as, like so many different elements for preparation for a film that you really don't have for videos, and you are with film and television, you're basically on you're very tight scheduled. And when they say time is money, and that's absolutely correct. And if you're running a department and just basically everything is time driven, you can't waste time, and you can't, you have a certain amount of time to do an actress or actor and get them out so they can start production and start shooting because they're on a time schedule. So you taking 10 or 15 minutes behind may cause a 30-minute delay in production and shooting, which costs thousands of dollars. Not to say that's not what music videos don't have that as well, but they do, but they're more a little bit lenient, and they basically are more impromptu. Music videos are a lot of, it's not as structured as film and television.
Which do you like best?
I'm sorry?
I said, which area do you like to work in best?
You mean as far as the different states? Like, you mean what are you, like L.A. or New York?
No, I just mean you in general. Which do you like to work in best, music or film and television?
I like film and television. I haven't worked in music in quite some time, and I don't, as music has made its turn, I don't really think I'm as interested in music anymore. I've surpassed that, I feel. I do a lot of music for personal clients, but, I mean, I've gotten calls and received calls to do other stuff with other artists, and I decline it because it's just not really, I'm, you know, beyond that as far as everything. And the way things are ran now, I just don't really, it doesn't fit for me.
So you mentioned, I heard in your introduction, you mentioned Miami, New York, L.A., Atlanta, and, of course, now you're in L.A. I'm trying to figure out how to word this question. How does being and living in all of those places help you with your career as far as being a makeup artist? Because, you know, like each city, you know, there's something different about each town and how women in general approach makeup.
Yeah.
Being in those different towns, how has that helped you with just, you know, with just what you do as a makeup artist in general? And not necessarily working with celebrities, but just in general, just when you're approaching makeup.
That's a hard question to answer. I'm like, wait a minute. Say that again. let me think.
Is there anything that you've taken from, first let me go back. Let me just make sure I have this correct. You've lived in all of those areas.
I lived in Atlanta. And I part-time lived in Miami because I worked in Miami a lot. So it was
okay.
A second home. When I wasn't in Atlanta, I was in Miami a bulk of my time. I have not lived in New York. I worked a lot in New York, but not lived.
Okay.
And I lived in L.A.
Okay. So just living in the cities that you lived and working in all of those cities, I'm basically asking what did you take from
each place?
Experiences, so each place, yes. But in all of this is in regards to makeup. What did you take from all of those places that you could incorporate into what you do now as a makeup artist? Is there something about maybe, for instance, how the women wore their makeup in Miami? Is it something about that you like, and did you take a little piece of that and include in what you do now, or is there anything that you took from any of those experiences as doing makeup is concerned that you know kind of incorporated in what you do now as an artist?
I think more so it probably, although of course I do pay attention to trends and styles and art forms and so forth, but I've always been the type of person that's just always been my own as far as when it comes to creating. And certain things have to be quite innovative or impressive to catch my eye. Working in Atlanta and Miami and living in those places, I think there's a lot of stuff that I took from that helped me see different ways. It basically lets you know, and no matter where you are, even though it's that close, there's such a huge difference in the way women wear their makeup in Atlanta versus Miami and versus New York versus L.A. And I would say far as more of a cultural aspect in dealing with various people as a makeup artist and just kind of building longevity in relationships more than anything far as makeup. Because I think, you can be a great makeup artist or an artisan, but it's all about the way people perceive you and the way that you take care of your clients and the way you perform your art and if they're
right.
comfortable with that. So I think in a nutshell, I would say there's a lot of stuff that I learned. Can I pinpoint a particular lesson or something that I learned? Not at this time, but I'm sure if I think about it, I can definitely pull out, oh, okay, yeah, this is that and that and so forth.
Right.
But I know Atlanta, Miami, I'll just combine those two together because that's where I did most of my work and that's where I built my foundation. And working with such great makeup artists such as Yolanda and, the funny thing, she's probably the only one that I really worked with and learned so much from as far as being an artist, a professional, as far as being a businesswoman and taking it to the next level. And I was able to carry that through my travels and my residency where I live now. I've been in L.A. now for over 13 years, and I've worked with every major actor, major set production you can imagine. And that's just because I've had that foundation and that concrete, that molding that put me there that I can hang with the people that have been doing it for 30 or 40 years. You know what I mean?
Right, right, exactly. Well, you mentioned, having a foundation and being an artist. Let me ask you, what makes a great makeup artist? And in answering that question, include some of the important things that you've learned. And I'm talking about that foundation that you're speaking about. Based on that foundation, what do you think makes a great
makeup? What makes a great makeup artist is to continue to learn and nurture her art form. I don't care how fabulous you think you are, there's always somebody that much more fabulous. And I think that when you put a restriction on learning from other people or having such an ego or being cocky, I think that diminishes your creativity and you don't have as much longevity in the industry. I mean, you may be hot for the next 2 to 5, 6 years or maybe 10, who knows. But if you don't open up and work with other artists and know that it's a teamwork effort versus a competition, then you do yourself a disservice.
Right.
As evolving to the next level, to being that teacher and passing down to the next level and knowing that, I've inspired, I've motivated, I helped this person get to where they are. I mean, I have a lot of people that came up under me, and I see them now, they've surpassed me, which I'm so, that makes me feel great as a teacher, as an educator. I mean, I did a great job. So
right.
I always want the people that come up under me or I'm teaching or molding or taking with me and nurturing their talent and their business-like mindset to make the best out of this, mm-hmm. I want them to surpass me because that says a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's important what you say about, you know, those people who may be hot at the moment. If you're not willing to learn from somebody else, you will not last.
And you do yourself a disservice. That ego is, and I know as creators and artists, I know that that becomes, we have huge egos because
right.
we're very selfish and we don't understand being selfless is more beneficial to everybody as a whole and you as an individual. But I think when you just realize it's a teamwork effort, and that person that you're working with or that might have gotten a job and you didn't, it's not about competition. It's about everybody, you know, there's enough for everyone, and that just wasn't your moment or wasn't a fit for you at that time.
Right.
Now, you know, going past that, I've always been the type of person that and I would say I did myself a disservice because I've always thought about the art form first versus the celebrity in it. And mm-hmm. I think because I've always been very protective of my clients and their privacy. So,
right.
And I didn't want to be this celebrity makeup artist, this celebrity stuff. But, you know, that wasn't my goal. It was just basically to do a great job and just let my work speak for itself. But now we're at a time where that matters. Like, that's what people want to know. These titles matter. It don't even matter if you are not that great of a makeup artist. You know, it just is like one of the things that you, if you did 3 reality show stars and 1 actress, then you're a celebrity makeup artist. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not the case. Like, that name is used so loosely, and it's just like, okay. But, you know, for each its own. Whatever gets you, but then you'll have to be confronted with that one day, and
right.
then see what happens.
Right. Absolutely. Do you have any regrets about anything in your career? Do you wish you could have changed anything along the way?
The one thing that I just mentioned. The only regrets that I have was not basically capitalizing on a lot of opportunities that presented themselves to me because mm-hmm. I was so much of an introvert as an artist and just like, no, you know, I'm good. This is good. Because there were other things that I wanted to do, and I knew that I had great talent, and so I was told I didn't want to be this bigger-than-life celebrity makeup artist because I had other passions far as in the film and television industry, and I always felt if I became big in that I wouldn't foresee what I really wanted to do and wanted to the desire to do. And, you know, God always has a different plan for you. You think you know it, but then you realize it's part of the journey, you know?
Right. Do you have any advice for makeup artists now, especially makeup artists that are just starting out? Do you have any advice for them on, you know, besides what it takes to be a good makeup artist, but just of how to stay focused, you know, during this journey?
But the one thing with makeup artists today, the only advice and suggestions I have is master your craft. And you
mm-hmm.
can't master your craft in 2 months.
Right.
In 1 year.
Right.
You know, and I say this, and create your niche. See what you're good at. See what you're best at. And just be the best that you can possibly be. And just, you know, and just stay humble. Just stay humble.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best advice I can get is just that humbleness will get you so much further and will keep you in the game longer than anything.
That's so true.
Absolutely.
What can you say about education? Because, you know, when you're saying study your craft, it doesn't happen in 2 months. You know, some people feel like they could just go YouTube, watch some videos. And I'm not saying that that doesn't help anyone. I'm just saying, what do you say to other artists about educating them?
I think, like, and the one thing as human beings, I know that a lot of us are already skillfully creative, for one. So a lot of us have a natural talent to be artists because we are the creators of the world. We make the world go around. The creators do, the artists. And I just say, if when you're watching YouTube or trying to figure out what to do, you have to study the greats before you. And you see that with any actor. You see that with any engineer. You see that in every profession possible. People study the greats before them. You know what I'm saying? To understand. And you, if you do that and you study it thoroughly and you constantly, you know, stay with the current in a modern way, probably look at the YouTube or read a book and so forth, in addition to studying the greats. And then actually shadowing under somebody that's working and as great as one of the its predecessors. You know what I mean?
Right.
That right there will take you so much further, and you learn so much more. Like me, I do special effects. I do a lot of different things. When I first started off and I knew that this could possibly be a good profession, I went and studied masking, molding, and special effects and all of that. Every aspect of makeup artistry I possibly can think of, I studied it.
Mm-hmm.
I was fortunate enough to get a vet that was in the industry and had been in the industry for over 30 years. She took me under her wing, and she taught me the business aspect of it. And she showed me so many different things on how to maximize my opportunity as far as staying working, making good money, and making a living off of it. And how to negotiate contracts, deal memos, all of that. So I just say, you know, for the novice artist, just basically just, you know, relax, stay humble. Everybody gets their chance to shine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I noticed that you work a lot with a little bit about grooming the male. What are some, I guess, key points or key things that artists need to pay attention to when it comes to male grooming?
Don't put too much makeup on him. Jeez.
Please.
He does not need his face beat like a woman.
Right.
Okay, I'm just being silly, but truthful but silly. The grooming, men require special attention too. People think that, oh, because it's a man, I don't have to put on eyelashes, lipstick, bronze his legs, that he doesn't require much or he doesn't need much. I take good care of my men. That's why I have a large, and I didn't, the funny thing is that I didn't plan out to do that. It just so happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so grateful that it did, because women can be a little bit much.
Right.
And I've had a
right.
great, and I do go through my phase, and I do women too. But I prefer to do men. I've turned down a lot of women artists or talent, and like, oh, I'm okay, because I've gotten a little spoiled. But that's because I've they treat me very well, and they don't give me no drama. I don't have to worry about no PMSing, no mood swings, you know, all of that good stuff. But I would say,
look, I think we're all laughing because we all could probably think of an experience.
Exactly. That's why I said it. We all can. Exactly. Like, oh, yeah. Wow. So, but, everybody can relate to it. And it's so funny because, getting off subject a little bit, it's so funny because one of my friends, she's an actress. Actually, two of my friends are really good actresses, and they work a lot. And they always are so scared to ask me to do their makeup because they know I prefer not to do women. And but they're my really good friends. So, of course, I'm like, no, girl, I'll do your makeup. They're like, okay, Coco,
right.
I know. And I'm like, no, I got you because we're friends outside of work. So it's good. But and then it's so funny because I work with you guys know Kim Kimball, and
right.
Kim Kimball and I work together a whole lot, and she cracks up at me every time we work together, and she's just like, yeah, I know, Cole. You just, I was like, girl, I don't see how you do it, Lordy. I'm like, wow, okay, sister, you are praised. But anywho, back to my men. Men need their grooming to me for a man
mm-hmm.
is to make sure he is dapper when he gets on screen. Making sure he's so polished that you don't even know he have makeup. He look like he got a shoe spit shine. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what grooming a man is for me. Nose hairs. Make sure he ain't got no hair coming out his nose. Make sure his nails are not tagged all. Make sure he don't have coal in his eye. Make sure his lines are straight when, you know, if the barber does little stuff, I'm like, okay, you need to do this. That looks a little raggedy. You know what I mean? Just taking
mm-hmm.
care of him. Like taking care of him where when I'm around, they don't have to worry or question if they look okay.
Right.
They don't have to go and look in the mirror and see if everything is straight because they know it's straight because I'm such a perfectionist when it comes to anything that I do. I overthink it, and I overdo.
Mm-hmm.
When I say overdo, I check and double check.
Right.
You know,
step
back, and after I, you know, get my guy together, I'll step back and look at him from afar. I might have some binoculars and look at him from afar with binoculars. I might have go on set, tap the DP. I need to see that screen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I go far and beyond. That's what I do.
Well, let me ask you. You were talking about making sure his lines are straight. Now, if you're in a situation where you're working with a guy, because sometimes makeup artists don't know where to draw the line or how far they can go with this. If there's a no barber there, let's just say it's not necessarily something that's on a film or television set. Let's say, you know, it's just personal appearance, you go to hotel or wherever, and his lines are not straight. Is that something that every male groomer should be able to do, unless they're makeup artists, but they groom men? Should makeup artists be able to fix those lines?
Now, are you talking about, like, the beard, the face line, or the hairline?
Because, see, I don't know. You said line straight, so I wasn't sure which one you were talking about.
Okay,
so
it's the hairline, absolutely. That's it. But one thing about being a makeup artist and a groomer, we're able, if we can cut hair, we're able to do both.
Right.
Period. And that's even on film and television.
Right. Exactly.
However, if it's a situation where he has a barber and I'm solely just a makeup artist groomer, then I won't touch his hairline. But if I got some real, what is it, the, you know, the special effects kit, the real collector, whatever, or if I have that on hand, I'm going to go in there and paint some hair
right.
to straighten it up.
Right.
You know, or if his line is a little faded and light and one part is darker than the other, then I'm going to go in there, and then I'm gonna make it match.
Gotcha.
You know, and that's just
gotcha.
Me. And I know it is a thin line because people in a barber is an artist, especially with
mm-hmm.
black men haircuts. So
yes.
he's a little touchy on there, but they can be sometimes a little sloppy.
Right.
You know. And
right.
it's almost in the rapport and the relationship as well. And just kind of like seeing if it's okay, or you know, if your talent asks you, then be like, okay, you know, I'll fix it up. And then probably if the barber's not there next time I see him, well, I hope you didn't mind, but I had to tighten this up a little bit, you know, per his
right.
request, you know, that type of thing. And it's all about respect, just to make sure
right.
that nobody feels like you're stepping on their toes or trying to bark on their territory.
Exactly. And I just wanted to make that clear because sometimes they say they're groomers and when they're working with a man, all they're really doing is putting makeup on their face. And I just wanted you to say, you know, speak on that, because sometimes they don't realize or don't know that they may, you know, that they can address that issue. You know, they can say to the artist, well, you know, your lines aren't straight, you know, and it's up to him to say, okay, can you do something, or I'll just let my barber take care of it, you know, the next time, whatever. But some of them don't realize that they can go that far.
Well, probably some of them don't realize that they can go that far because some of them don't know how to do it.
Right. Well, that's
right.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like a true artist groomer will know that she can do that. That's what puts her in the territory of a groomer as well. And when I say groomer, I think that's just more of the male terminology as a makeup artist, because men are so fickle with using makeup artists on men.
Right.
Because they
right.
really want, you know, it's like one of those things where it's, they don't want to be known that they wear makeup. So you say groomer, and that's just become something that media has put in there. But it's the same. But as a groomer, I've called myself a groomer for so long that's because I go far beyond makeup artistry. And I think that's fair, but they can, and if they feel comfortable. But I wouldn't suggest them to go and start doing it just because they feel like they can. They really need to know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you might have 5 minutes and you probably feel like it's a quick fix, and I'm going to go ahead and just tighten this up a little bit. Next thing you know, you're wasting 20 minutes, and you ain't going to get no call back because you screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all ego. Nobody wants that they don't want to do, you know, especially when asked and says, like, you know, that's not my expertise. I'm going to leave that to such and such. And it's okay to say, no, I don't know how to do that. That's not one of my expertise. However, I can do this for you. I mean, I'm sure you've been that might.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't know how to do something. They just do it.
Oh, yeah, trust me. I did. And, boy, they talked about her the whole show. And then at the end of the show, they didn't want her back. But
exactly.
And I'm saying to myself, she could have just said in the beginning, she doesn't know how to do that. But
exactly. Would have saved a lot of money and time.
Mm-hmm. A lot of money and time. But speaking of grooming, you have a new product line. So tell us a little bit about your products for men.
My product line, it's called Cole Skincare for Men. And, of course, I took the name Cole, which is my name, because I specialize in men for so long and have such a plethora of men clientele that I wanted to cater something to them that I developed and designed. It's not a private label. I actually took my formulation and had it stabilized and tested with a chemist and developed it for men, specifically African American men or minority men or men of color. And the first product that it has a pre-order launch is the 3-in-1 Foaming Cleanser, which is three products in one step. Basically, it's a cleanser, an exfoliant, and a hydrator. And it has a little bit of peptides and anti-aging products and hydrocologne in there to help with dark spots and ingrown hairs and hyperpigmentation and so forth for men that they suffer with shaving and getting the masking around their faces. And it also gives you a shine and keeps water into the skin. And it keeps the skin stabilized, alkaline-based. So basically, it doesn't strip the skin of its regular moisture. So whether you're oily or dry or combination, it's not going to strip your skin. It's just strictly there to hydrate, cleanse, and exfoliate your skin and maintain and rejuvenate cellular structure.
And you said it's
now in late, I was like, people are probably like, okay, what is all that she just said? I have I have to speak in layman's term, but that's me being more a medical aesthetics and advanced skincare person. you know, with the environment and clogged pores and all the problems that we have, and especially just, you know, with harsh soaps and products that we may use on our skin, this is all natural, and it has enzymes that continue to work on the skin that helps the skin perform its best and to look its best.
So it's not so it's not out now. People can pre-order it. Is that the case?
Yeah, they can pre-order. What happened is that I did like 500 samples, two-ounce bottle samples, and you know, sent them to my celebrity clients and on sets and celebrity makeup artists local in L.A. And it's so funny because I didn't think that they would go as fast as they did.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started giving them to people to use and to see what they liked and get their feedback, they wanted to buy it. They're like, okay, you need to hurry up, because the official launch wasn't supposed to be until June. So now I decided to do pre-order to expedite the launch, to expedite a pre-launch. So this is not the official launch. This is just a pre-order due to the demand of wanting the product ASAP.
Gotcha.
So I put together a minimum order that I could possibly do, that once it fills, then everybody has to wait till June. And I'm almost pretty much halfway there, and I just opened up yesterday.
Wow. So when you launch the line, are you just launching one product at a time, or will there be more products in June?
No, there's four products total that will, all of them will be launched in June. There's
gotcha.
The 3-in-1 Calming Cleanser, which you just don't need anything else with it unless you want to. Then I have a cleansing pad, which are with little rough sponge-like pads for the face. And then I have, like, skin enhancers, which are, like, basically toner pads. And then I have a moisture balm, which is a moisturizer with anti-aging and other elements in it, like serum, that helps with antioxidants and so forth and other stuff. So basically all the products that I have are designed to use by themselves. You can use it alone, or you can use them all together.
Together.
Like, they're multifunctional products.
And so, but the 3-in-1 cleanser is the only product that you've had samples for.
Yeah, the one that I have sample for, and that's the one that's already out. Like, that one's totally out. So we're
totally
just
out.
Filling pre-orders on that. Yeah, that one's out, and we're filling pre-orders. The other three will be out until June.
Okay. And so the people that you've given the samples to, you know, they want to buy the product. What was some of the feedback? Did they say, like, anything in particular about the product?
I'll read you some feedback. Hold on, let me look this up. So, so I work with the NFL Network has my product, a couple of NBA players, of course, actors. And the feedback was like, I love it. It smells good. It's simple. I could tell a big difference with my skin. One of the guys, DeVault Quinn from The Biggest Loser, Christian Keys, Jay Ellis, Lorenz Tate, Michael Boatman with Instant Mom, the show that I worked on, The Voice, the makeup artist over at The Voice, Blake's makeup artist, Adam's makeup artist, and I mean, even to the point where some women were like, shoot, I want to, can I try some? And so I've given a couple of women as well. Mac Wiles, the young rapper. Kenny Lattimore, a couple of music execs that run labels, one of Jay-Z partners, like some of everybody. I have a whole, Craig Robinson, Rico Love. Let me see. Usher.
Craig Robinson, the director? Oh, Craig, the actor.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've given it to some directors too, Chris Spencer, Kevin Hart, Boris Cujo, like so many people. Like I'm like once I gave one to somebody, then they was like, okay, so and so want one too, and coming back and just and that they love it. It's been a great turnout. Like I just wasn't expect, and I kind of. And when it's so funny because when you saw the, I kind of just inched it out there a little bit. Like I didn't really expose it.
Uh-huh.
I just got them, you know. You know, I was like, I'm gonna get samples and just give it as like a little gift. So I didn't really expose it a lot. I just kind of was like on and gave people that I knew and had access to the product.
Let me ask you: Do you ever find that men of color? Is it hard getting them to try products? I mean, you know, some people will take it, but will they all actually, do you find that some of them won't try it or tell you that they've tried it but really didn't try it? I mean, because, you know, sometimes you, and I'm saying this not just for men of color, but just men in general, because some men, you know how in the beginning you talked about how, you talked about how, you know, a man taking care of himself and all that you do to put into grooming a man, like he's just as important as a woman. But sometimes I find that some men, they don't consider care such a big deal. Now you're dealing with actors. Some of them do focus on some of that, some of them don't. Do you ever find in working with actors, male actors, that some of them don't take care of their skin? And it's hard to get them to try products?
I found that in the past, but I think most of the guys know my work, mm-hmm. so they're eager to try what I say.
Gotcha.
But I can see where that will probably be an issue with the norm that didn't know me or know who I was. And,
right.
You know, and it's, and like, but I think, in this day of age, your image and what you look like is so prevalent. Like, it's basically the most important thing is because we have social media.
Mm-hmm.
People are taking pictures and sizing themselves up every single day. So your normal person that was not really that image conscious now becomes image conscious,
right.
You know. So, I mean, if you look at it, that's why Dove has a huge male skincare campaign.
Right.
So, because they're knowing that, and then how they sold it was to have actors and celebrities to do testimonials, visual testimonies to talk about it. So Dove mm-hmm. has catered to that man that sitting there looking at his favorite sports figure and like, oh, I want to, okay, Shaq used that? Okay, I'm going to use that too. I'm going to try it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
well, you know,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm recently finding that some male actors, they normally don't do anything special, maybe just wash their face with soap and water or whatever, but they normally don't do anything special or buy any special products, but they know that they need something. So, you know, a lot of times when we have products, you know, like when you have products, movie sets, or you have people sending you products for your actors to try, when you give them something, they're like, oh, okay, because I needed something for my skin, or, you know, or they just don't know what to do, but they know they need something.
And
that's
why,
one of the
things
that
I've been trying. Like, when they, the thing with men is men need to know that it's a benefit and it works. They want to make sure
right.
what they use works. They don't want to have to keep do trial and error and see what works or what don't work. They don't want to go through that hassle. You give them
right.
something, they're going to try it once. If they don't see an immediate result, they're not going to use it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may put it to the side and be like, oh, I'm good. I'm going to stick to the soap because I like the way it makes my skin feel. And that's when I developed my 3-in-1 cleanser. I took all of that into consideration. Every aspect of a male, because I've worked with men for so long and trying to get them on a regimen or come get a facial and do all that was like pulling teeth. But once they got it and they saw it and they saw the visual difference instantly, they were hooked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the same thing I wanted my product to do, is for them to instantly see a visual difference so they would have no choice but to use it. And that's what has happened.
Right. So where can people go to pre-order?
A pre-order on my website, which is Last Looks by Cole, www.lastlooks by B as in boy, Y, yo-yo, and my name Cole, C-O-L-E.com. And with today, I decided to, the cleanser is a 3-in-1 because it's advanced skincare. It's not your normal maintenance regimen. It's an advanced skincare. So it does so many things. It has so many properties in there. And with the show, even though if they purchase it now, they'll have a $10 credit back on their card once the shipment goes out, because I decided because of your show and stuff, I will offer a $10 credit for it just to make it a little bit affordable.
And how long are you going to offer this deal?
It started March 1st. It ends April 30th. April 30th or while supplies last.
Okay. So during that whole time, you're going to offer this $10 credit back?
Yes.
Okay. Do they have to just mention the show, or how does that work?
No, I'm just going to – they can – if there's no, they can mention the show, and
gotcha.
I'll also put – other information in the box with when I ship the product out, I'll put other information in there for them. But they don't have to mention, I'm just going to offer it. I had was going through it before we connected to see what I could do since I was going to be on the show to offer something to the pre-orders, because they're going like really fast and just to fill them up quickly. And if they go on the site, they'll get it.
And let me
and
ask you this question.
They probably samples on the other products if they are out before June. If not, then they'll just definitely get information about it.
Okay. Now, if let's just, you know, considering like people like us, if we're just a makeup artist on set, and if you know how sometimes we'll have products, well, not sometimes, all the time, we'll have products for the actors to, you know, to cleanse their skin or whatever, which product do you think of yours would be the best? Because I'm thinking about this 3-in-1 cleanser, I'm like, well, that might be something good. But I know you said it's an advanced product. So what's best on set for men if just at the end of the day they want to take their makeup off? Like, what's the best thing for them to use from your line?
Probably the cleansing or the skin enhancers. But I definitely, even though it's an advanced product, it basically has advanced property ingredients in it. But that would be – that's phenomenal to use on your set, because they don't have to worry about different things. They don't have to worry about a moisturizer afterwards, and it gets your skin clean, and you don't need much. You just need one pump, some water, put it on your face, rinse your face, blot it dry, and you're good.
Gotcha.
And they can shave with it too.
Oh, nice. That's a good selling point.
Yeah, they can shave with it too. That's what I say. I made sure that it was in one of the barbers here in L.A., well, a couple of them in L.A., he keeps asking me for more samples because he's been using it to shave, and it basically softens the hair follicles, makes for and it facilitates a better glide in the shave.
Hmm.
When I get the, if I can get, I'll make, you know, I have a couple of samples. I just have probably about 6 samples left. I'll send you a couple.
Okay.
So you can use it on set.
Now, we didn't talk a whole lot tonight, Cole, about skincare, but let me ask you, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but, you know, PBA, the Professional Beauty Association, has been talking about this a lot. There's this big thing going around the country, and I'm not sure where California stands with this, but there are a lot of different states who are facing this right now where they want to take away licenses for barbers, estheticians, nail techs, and hairstylists. What do you think about that? What do you think about estheticians practicing skincare without a license?
Oh, you know, it's funny because that's been an issue and been a dilemma since I got licensed back, which was like in the 90s. And medical dermatologists and skincare doctors were afraid of that, and they felt like aesthetics was crossing the line towards dermatology, which I can understand and I see the point. But there's so much to learn, and this is another issue when we talked about makeup artists and learning your craft and mastering your craft. It goes the same for estheticians. I was short probably a couple of, maybe if I would have continued to get my Sodesta license, which is the highest license as far as an esthetician you can get and teach and so forth. But there's a lot of estheticians that really don't know aesthetics. They don't know skincare. So, and it's bad for if it happens for the ones that do know it. I'm not really sure how that's going to affect, but you know that's mainly because of a money issue because of the medi spas being very popular. So now a lot of dermatology offices are converting into medical spas, which is more of a business thing than anything. I think they're making it a license issue, and this is just my opinion, but I think that they're making it a license issue because it's big business in anti-aging and medical skincare and advanced skincare. That's a billion-dollar industry. So if they can eliminate estheticians from getting licensed, then a lot of spas will go down and will have to have doctors or nurses or medical professionals that are licensed and certified to be able to run these places.
You know, I didn't even think of it that way, but that's an excellent point.
Yeah, that's what's going on. Because if you look at it, estheticians are, and doctors are making, they can make so much money with anti-aging and advanced skincare doing aesthetics work. Before they thought it was beneath them to do that. But there's not a lot of people going to doing dermatology a lot. You know what I mean? You go to a dermatologist, you might have rosacea or acne for the teenagers. Then next thing you know, they put you on Retin-A and Accutane and whatnot, and you go off of it. And then what after that? Now, because skincare and people are wanting to stay young, and that's such a booming business, they see the longevity in keeping these clients to themselves instead of sending them out to a spa or an esthetician.
Right.
And it's gotten so, too, where I think insurance covers a percentage of those visits as well because it's considered wellness and health.
Exactly.
Wow. That's why I'm like, when the business as a whole, I know the business. This is what I do. So I understand the business aspect of it, and I understand the politics aspect of it, and I understand the need or the I understand all aspects of it. So they're going to do that with state to state and just kind of, and it's going to be a process of elimination.
Or at least they're going to try.
Yeah, they're going to try. But because the medical aspect has more dollars, it might. I don't think they're going to succeed, but I think they're going to put certain regulations and stricts and continue education and certification to kind of make it difficult for anybody to practice it.
Right.
So they're just going to tighten the grip a little bit.
Right. I just can't imagine a world with hairstylists and manicurists and estheticians and barbers walking around with no licenses.
So if they walk around with no license, then they can't work, right?
No. They're saying, go on and do what you do, and you don't need a license.
Oh, hecky no. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. But you know what? The funny thing is so many people doing it already. People from other countries are doing it.
That's true.
Like, so they ain't doing nothing but, like, making y'all aware of what's already going on. You had people from Russia and Vietnam and Korea, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many, India, so many people doing it already.
But when you go into a salon and you sit down and you see somebody has a license up, you feel comfortable.
You do feel comfortable.
I mean?
You know what's going on, too, is that's because of budget cuts.
Right.
Because that's state-operated. That's government. You know what I mean? Like, the state don't want to pay that money to the employees to oversee that. So that's why they're saying they don't want to give y'all no license, because they got to pay employees to oversee that and go through the whole training and stuff. They don't want to pay nobody.
But also, I mean, because it's already happening anyway, and they know that, they know this is happening, what they really want to do is they want to regulate the fact that it's already happening, because they want to capitalize and get, you know, the government wants to take a little bit of the money that those people who aren't paying taxes and all that's making. You know, you have hairstylists doing hair out of their houses or wherever, or even in, like, salon suites and stuff. And they're not paying taxes. So the government wants to find a way to get some of that money.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's really true. That's kind of, I don't know. They already did that in certain states.
Well, they're trying to. They're trying to eliminate it in certain states.
Oh yeah, California not having that. That's them southern states down there.
I know. Missouri is one.
And I was just about to say in the Midwest states. I was just about to say Midwest, and I'm from the Midwest. I can see Missouri, Minnesota, Milwaukee, Indiana. I can see them doing that too.
Yeah. I know Ohio was another. So yeah.
Wow. That's really sad.
Yep.
That's really sad. Well, Georgia hasn't done it yet, though, right?
No, Georgia hasn't done it yet. But I think they proposed a bill, though, but they haven't done it. I think one state is trying it, so another state's jumping on board, another state's jumping on board, another state's jumping on board, but no one's been successful just yet.
Okay. Yeah, they probably won't. They'll kill it after a while. That's crazy.
We're just making people aware of it. If they haven't heard, we're just making them aware of it so that, you know.
So that they know and keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Interesting.
Very. Yeah. Very interesting. Well, thank you so much, Cole, for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. I'm excited to try your product. See what everybody else here is saying about it on set. Sounds like something that I'm listening to all the people that you're saying, your NFL players, your NBA players, your actors and directors, everybody that's trying it, and listening to some of the things that you're saying that's in the product. It sounds like something I would definitely like to try on male clients for sure. So we definitely would try it and give you some feedback. Do you think you will ever expand the line past those four products?
Actually, I've developed two more.
Right.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I actually developed two more, and from this I'm going to do, I have a small, the Last Looks part is the women's cosmetic part that I'm going to do, which I have a couple of products off of that, but definitely for the men's product, I will expand it to a couple of things, more of a treatment line, maybe three or four products, which I've already formulated two items from that line already.
I love
probably the bomb and so forth, and make it more, it's geared towards, even though the concept came about because of my industry, I'm expanding it just to make it more readily accessible and, friendly for the regular consumer as well, so he feels comfortable with it as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Nice.
But, yeah, I'll definitely email me your address, and I'll send you the couple examples that I have left. And, Yeah, I'm excited, and you know, we'll see. I have a couple of shows next week that I'm doing with a couple of the beauty expos and talk about that as well. And Kim Kimball and I are doing a makeup workshop, a beauty boot camp next week as well.
Okay. Keep us posted, and well, give us email us the details, and we'll get the information out on our beauty talk.
Okay, I will do. Yeah, but it should be cool. Well, keep in touch. You guys have my information, and yeah, have people go online and see what the talk is about and experience it, and I'll make sure I send you the samples. And there's this fabulous sponge that's on that I have now available. The sponge is phenomenal. You use it with the cleanser, and it helps.
I did see that online.
That sponge is quite amazing.
Yeah, it looked like it was something I wanted to try.
and you can use it. The sponge is unisex. Particular ones, the colors and the particular ones are geared towards men, like rosacea, skin irritation, and to increase circulation and hydration, and blackheads, ingrown hairs, problematic skin, acne skin. But you can use it. The white ones are really good, and the red, and all three of them are excellent.
Oh, yeah. When I looked at that, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
The guys have been using it, and I did like I only did like 50 of those to give out to the celebrity clients. And that thing is a hit. They love that sponge. Like,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So we have one last question as we close out our show. What is beauty to you?
Beauty to me is a little bit of three things: idealistic, realistic, and naturalistic. And I say that because the ideas come from the art. Realistic, we see, we hear, we drive, or we basically feed off other people's or what we see. And then the naturalistic part of it is just what comes natural and skill set. And it's just to express, enhance, and beautify and accentuate what's already there.
Nice. So you said idealistic, realistic, and naturalistic.
Yep.
Good stuff.
I know I get a little deep sometimes, but I love creating. It's like, okay, I said, what is beauty? Is it cute? Is it what? But no.
Right.
But it's just, it keeps your brain stimulated to see what is it to you. And,
right.
You know, that's what it means to me, because so many things in the world is beautiful. To a musician,
right.
It's music, it's the tone, it's so many different things.
Right.
So, you know, it can be what you hear, what you see, what you smell. That's beauty.
Absolutely.
So.
Right. Well, we will definitely keep in touch and give you some feedback on what we think. And, again, make sure you get that information to us so we can promote you and Kim's boot camp. And to all of those who listened for tonight, thank you for joining us. We have such a quiet, they're very quiet. Some of them are afraid to talk, but, you know. So there weren't anybody calling in with questions or comments, but it's all good. You know, you can always leave your comments on the Beauty Talk Facebook page. And then, Cole, do you have a place where people can reach you if they have questions or comments about your product?
Yeah, all my Instagram and Twitter and are both at Last Looks by Cole.
Okay.
And if they go on the website, which is also www.lastlooksbycole, email me. I will get the email directly. But to promptly get a question, probably Instagram is the best. I'm trying to pick up on the Twitter thing. It's a little bit too time-consuming, but I'm getting the hang of it. If they have questions for me, I definitely will answer. And maybe that'll get me.
I'm gonna keep tweeting you to force you to use Twitter.
You have to, girl, because I go like months, and I'm like, you know what? And my people are getting on me, especially with the product stuff, because I was supposed to start tweeting stuff, and I'm like, I feel like I'm talking to myself.
So, right. You feel like you're talking to yourself, right?
Yes, and it's like a crazy lady. Like, what am I going to say? And I'm like, okay. And then I don't want to at nobody and be ignored. So I'm like, okay, yeah. Engage in a conversation, I definitely will answer.
I think if you tweet a little more, you'll feel better about it.
Okay.
You'll feel better about it.
It's baby, baby steps.
That's right, baby steps. Thanks to everybody who listened tonight, and as always, join us again next Sunday night. We'll be back to our regular time, 9 p.m., next Sunday night at 9 p.m. Join us for more Beauty Talk. And I believe our guest next Sunday night is Orlando Santiago, and he'll be here to talk about his new academy down in Orlando, Florida. And I don't know if my sister Denise has anything else you want to say.
I just wanted to encourage you all to follow us on Instagram. We're beauty_talk_media. You can follow us on Twitter, beauty_talk, and you can check us out on Facebook. We're Beauty Talk Online Radio.
All right. Sounds good. So until next week, everyone have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Bye.